At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, welcome aboard. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up over the next 3 hours of today's program, we do have Matt Youmans on the show in 45 minutes, VSiN.com senior editor and host here on the network. He likes an NFL play, for the Super Bowl, a couple of college football and college basketball, that is, sorry, and golf for this week. Sal Palantonio, ESPN in Philadelphia reporter in 2 hours. And David Thorpe, our good old friend on the show, load management in the NBA and what can be done with him in 2.5 hours. Pauly, you kind of scoffed at the idea yesterday of Tom Brady going to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You can no longer scoff. 24 hours later, the scoffing has to be removed.
Ah, come on. So he's out 6 months. It's okay. Purdy's my guy.
It's 6 months. It could be 12.
Uh-huh.
From what early reports yesterday, because of the Tommy John, if he's going to have the surgery.
Yeah.
Can you believe this situation for the 49ers?
God. My God. All the talk of the NFL, Mr. Irrelevant, 12 in a row. Can he do this? Then he gets hurt. He might not. Who knows if he gets his job back.
And by the way, it's
again
a complete tear.
Yeah.
It's the complete tear of the UCL in the throwing elbow.
The play was innocuous.
It totally was.
I know. He comes around and they hit his elbow as you're about to throw. Oh, that's it. You're out. Major surgery. I know, but
Garoppolo free agent. They're not going to bring him back. So now it's going to boil down to the thought was maybe they could trade Trey Lance in the offseason, get a couple of second round picks potentially. I don't think you can do that. There's a scenario here where they bring both Purdy and Lance back next year.
Yeah.
And then it would be an open competition.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they actually might add a veteran like a Tom Brady.
Mm.
And I'm looking right now, there has been a major shift in this market at DraftKings. Yesterday, Tom Brady was 7-1 to go to the 49ers and take his next snap. This morning, live here on the air, the 49ers are plus 150.
Oh, no.
They are the shortest shot on the board, followed by the Raiders at plus 175.
To hold it down for 1 year.
That's the thought.
Till he goes to Fox. And then what do they do after that? Then it goes back to the competition because they're healthy?
I mean, what
are you
going to
do
with
Trey Lance?
I would say it's over with for Trey Lance at that point. I would say then it's going to be Purdy's team.
Uh-huh.
If that's what you want to do.
God.
Because their window here is still going to be a couple years at least. But they have to capitalize on this at some point. It's too good of a roster.
6 months could be best case then. Maybe for Purdy. If he's out that time. That amount of time.
I think that's wishful thinking.
Can I keep Garoppolo?
Hey, then you're talking about, well, what's he going to get paid?
Oh,
and doesn't a team out there on the market probably make a better offer for him than the 49ers are going to be able to?
Yeah.
This is a tweet from 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. They said, and from their NFL reporter, the most likely scenario is the 49ers enter training camp next year with Purdy and Trey Lance, both not at 100%. And that was their, again, beat reporter for the 49ers on the case yesterday.
How about Carr?
Oh, my God.
No, right?
Well, here's what you would want to do, I think, right? Because Brady would be a one-off. And then if he goes there, can they win a Super Bowl with Brady?
He holds it for 1 year.
Okay, this team has been willing to really give up a lot of picks here in recent years. They didn't have to do that for Trey Lance. They did anyway.
Yep.
They gave up a lot of picks for McCaffrey. Why shouldn't this team be willing to pick up the phone and talk to Green Bay? Because Rodgers would have at least a couple of years left. And if Rodgers were to go to San Francisco, I'm sorry, that's the best team in the NFL.
That makes more sense.
Yes,
and
it does.
And he's from the area.
Yep.
Right. The Brady thing, again, you want to protect your legacy? It's just getting silly at this point. It's like Brett Favre. Now you're jumping around at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come on. Don't do that. I would retire or stay in Tampa. Don't just be jumping around everywhere and now go into a different organization and could be a one and done.
Right.
Right? It's silly at this point.
Even last night, the odds at DK to win the Super Bowl next year,
yeah.
The Niners were the third team on the board. The two favorites, the Chiefs, well, plus 550, Bills plus 650, then you had the 49ers at 7-1.
Hmm.
I would take a slice of 7 if I knew Aaron Rodgers was going to go there.
Yeah. Well, if you've been saying, why go avoid the AFC? But for selfish reasons, I would like to see him come out here, though, too. If Brady could wind up and be reunited with McDaniels and come out to Las Vegas or where Rodgers ends up.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. It's like, why would you even want to go into the same conference as Burrow, Jackson, Allen, and Mahomes when you just see how bad the NFC was this year? I mean, you're right?
That seems to be the play.
Huh?
Avoid all of that at the top. Do you think the Chiefs are going to go anywhere next year?
They should be the favorite.
Yes, of course.
Just because of one guy. You see how good he is, yeah. Right?
I'm not so sure the Bills should be number two on that board.
I'm with you. Can't be. No.
I think the Bengals should be right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 49ers are 7, like we said. Eagles are 8. Cowboys, 13. What number would you need to bet the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm not. Good call by Lombardi, by the way, with Kellen Moore.
Yep.
My God. I can't get there with Dallas.
Neither can I.
I don't know. Big Mike calling the shots now? No.
Nope.
And Dak has regressed. So, cause for concern. See what they do at OC.
But Moore did get that job within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And can you imagine what it's going to potentially be like next year? we briefly brought this up yesterday. Yeah. The combination of head coach there, Staley, and the OC, Kellen Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it has all the makings. Yes. Absolutely. Mm.
This from NFL reporter Mike Silver. He wrote a story for the San Francisco Chronicle. Somebody told him, this is from an actual Niners player. They told Mike Silver, quote, it felt like once Purdy got hurt, someone at the league called down and said, make sure the Eagles get to the Super Bowl. Not them.
This has got to stop. It was a bad weekend for the NFL. I thought you were too hard yesterday, but you gave it a grade. That's your grade. Yes, the officiating was lousy and became the big story and talking point in the Bengal game. And they blew some calls. Definitely a hold on the Mahomes run. But that was an obvious call on Osai, and you have to call it. But I can't stand people now who get into this, they can't accept the results of anything and scream foul. And it goes back to politics, and it goes to... How dumb are you if you actually think something's fixed and you still watch and bet on it?
Right.
That's on you. But that was trending on Twitter after the two games about rigged. And people, I mean, you got to stop this, guys.
No, that was...
It's a billion-dollar business. Everyone has a bad day. You saw with the Lakers-Celtics game. Sometimes people miss calls. Now, it's unfortunate what happened in the AFC title game, but to suggest that, I mean, it's laughable and stupid, and it has to stop with these people who are now, every time they lose a bet, they can't accept, oh, I made a mistake. I had the wrong team. It's my fault. It's like, no one ever wants to say that and take ownership. It's like, I have to, something's amiss.
The
fix is in.
Yeah,
and even a guy to say that, it's like your penalties were stupid.
Yeah.
The Greenlaw was dumb. The Trent Williams was dumb. I mean, these were legitimate penalties. They lost their cool. They were frustrated. And they were, over and over again, they were penalized. The fix isn't in. Like, oh, we can't have the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the game was over with when Purdy got hurt.
Yes.
Why was I too harsh yesterday?
Well, you gave it an F.
Well, I thought Sunday was terrible. But again, keep in mind, I think Championship Sunday, to me, is better than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So my expectations are super high. And that was one of the worst games I've ever watched on Championship Sunday. But that the... Never, ever. Can you imagine if the amount of games were rigged that people actually think are rigged? I've never used that word.
Yeah.
Are you out? You're out of your mind. You're exactly right to tie into politics.
Absolutely.
Nothing's real. Everything's fake.
You can't accept results of anything.
No, we got to go back and double check everything.
Yeah.
And for people to lose bets like this. No, I have a problem with poor officiating. I don't want them to be a storyline. That's my mate. Get it right. Get the calls right. Don't. And by the ones that bother me are, look, is it tough? Yes. They're bang, bang. These athletes are ridiculously fast. Could I do it? Probably not. But the obvious calls on the field in real time, don't screw those up. We brought up the Saturday, the game between the Celtics and the Lakers. Those were all obvious calls in real time.
Yeah.
And the refs admitted that they got them wrong.
We had an all-timer in the NFC Championship game years ago with the Rams and Saints.
Of course
no
we
one,
did.
No one said it was fixed.
No. But
they blew the call. I mean, it happens.
And that, by the way, but, as a result of that, that was not just like five people. That was, we're talking droves. It's fixed. It's rigged. I want my money back. Shut up. Knock it off. Then you're exactly right. Go away. Don't pay attention anymore.
Right.
It's not rigged.
You're the fool. If you're watching this and continue to bet on it, you think there's shenanigans involved.
There's a major difference between having a problem with the referees or the officials and calling a game rigged.
God. But that goes back to why, you can tie it into why people hated the Patriots and Belichick and Brady. They must be up to something. Because these guys, they think there's no way someone can be this good and I can lose year in, year out. And they're the only organization that continues to win on a regular basis. And you saw the jealousy and the hatred of the Patriots by other players around the league. I mean, that's the same thing here. You got your butt kicked. But to say that and suggest the league made a phone call, you had no chance to win that
people,
game.
I mean, the instant gratification, the instant hot takes are just, it's destroying the sports world from a media standpoint and from a fandom standpoint. This is a former player.
This is bad, too.
This is, yeah. I mean, from think about this. From Reggie Bush tweeted this out. I don't care if the quarterback has a damn injury. It's the NFC Championship game. He better start throwing the bleeping ball left-handed. And we don't have time for boo-boos. Pat Mahomes was on one leg last week. He got the job done.
Okay.
Good job, Reggie. Way
to
go.
Yeah.
And that's his instant take.
Yeah.
Kid has to have Tommy John surgery to go on next year.
Uh-huh. What's wrong with you? Get out there and
come on, go throw it left-handed.
And he can't throw.
Reggie Bush was one of the all-time best college players ever, and a bust in the NFL, by the way, but still a pretty decent player. How do you make that comment? You were around the league for a long, long time.
Made an egregious error. Then Mary Kardashian.
Yeah, never got involved in the empire there.
No, he got out too soon.
Yes, he did.
Could be worth billions.
Yep.
Bad job, Reggie. Now you're doing Wendy's commercials, kid.
Yeah. Well, he's probably making a pretty penny from those.
I don't know.
Next weekend, the last weekend of football, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be. You can win up to $10,000 in bonus money instantly by playing their exclusive Bet Rivers Squares this football season. Place $10 or more in qualifying bets and you get a square on the house. If the numbers on your square match the final score of the game, you win. Restrictions on qualifying wagers, eligible bonus and credit use, full terms and conditions available at the website, which is BetRiversSquares.com. We'll run down the betting action from last night. In Win Some, Lose Some, coming up next, you're holding a ticket at +2, +2.5. You have a 23-point lead, and that ticket turns into trash. Details on that coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
You want an edge with props and the Super Bowl? We have you covered. Intro offer only $9.99. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get every play by every host and every guest. Soccer's back this weekend. Nigel will be on. He's on fire. Betting splits, deep dive betting reports, limited time offer. Sign up now, $9.99, VSiN.com/subscribe. Nigel's living right. Small card this past weekend. He had Shrewsbury Town or somebody in one of the lower leagues.
Mm-hmm.
They were down. I should have had this in bad beats, but I forgot. They were down 1-0. They scored in the 94th and 98th minute to win.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played Forest Green or somebody. That's you're living right when that happens in soccer.
Yeah. He's been on Forest Green on the show before. Very popular.
Yeah.
On VSiN. Yeah. So I am heavily involved in the Defensive Player of the Year market in the NBA.
You must have been going crazy then with this.
Oh, I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Yeah.
So I have... I have, as you probably know at this point, I have Brooke Lopez to win $100,000 for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And now that ship is sailing away the way it appears. He's not like fourth. He got the even money, though, last month.
Did you do anything? You couldn't, right?
No, I was adding some guys around
could have sold the ticket, but right.
One of the guys I was adding was Jaren Jackson. A lot right. of Jaren Jackson.
Now, Claxton's up there now.
Yeah. Claxton wins. I'm taking a week off of work.
Okay, yeah.
But so I'm heavily involved in Brooke Lopez and Jaren Jackson. I have nothing on Claxton. I have nothing on Adebayo. I have nothing on Giannis. I do have some on OG and Jared Allen. I pay attention to this stuff every single year. I noticed on Saturday a Reddit post, and I don't really go to Reddit at all. I think people do a great job on there from some of the stuff I've seen. And this breakdown of how the home scorekeeper in Memphis Grizzlies basketball games was kind of toying with the numbers to give Jaren Jackson better stats to make it look good was absolutely fascinating to me. And when you break down the numbers at home compared to on the road, it's night and day with Jaren Jackson. And then this person went back and watched like two full games and he said, yeah, by my count, they gave him at least three additional blocks. So, and then people were quickly going to NBA.com because they do a good job of like sending out like every highlight from the player. You can go there and find Jaren Jackson's blocks on the year and watch them. And people are like, nah, this is probably not that big of a story. Well, it was. And listen to this. Brian Windhorst, one of the leading NBA reporters in the entire country,
mm-hmm.
his podcast yesterday, a lot of it was on this story on Reddit and Jaren Jackson. And he explained how big this story was over the weekend and the status of it.
You know, I saw people talking about it, and then I started to get text messages from like NBA executives, like they were looking at it. And then internally at ESPN, we discussed it, and I reached out to the league office, and the league office was aware of it. So basically, there was this Reddit post indicated that Jaren Jackson was getting home cooking on blocks and steals, but particularly blocks, that he was averaging way more blocks at home and on the road. He is the NBA's block leader. He's also the NBA's foul leader. He goes after blocks a lot and he fouls a lot, but he's been great defensively. And it was funny. It was just funny the way it played out, because a lot of people who have been, you know, I'm sure in the prop betting game, as more and more states have legalized betting, and NBA prop bets are very popular because, frankly, they're a little bit more predictable than individual games, especially if you don't know the full health of players. There are people who were up in their feelings about that.
Okay, so that was Windhorst again. Think about that for a second.
Phenomenal breakdown.
He had NBA executives reaching out to him.
Mm-hmm.
They knew about it. Then he reached out to the league office. They were already aware of this.
Yes. Yes. So the thinking here is, I never thought of this. I mean, what does a scorekeeper, a stat guy, make? And his explanation of why they do this was in case there's like a power outage. And they got, I mean, you got to keep track of stat, who has what foul and all this. There's someone who actually sits there and does it like an old baseball guy.
Pen and paper.
And logs everything.
At every home game for every team in the league,
yeah,
they have to do that.
So you were thinking is, well, how much do these guys make in incentives? How much do they make if they would win Defensive Player of the Year? And could there be something where, I mean, I don't even know what a guy like that makes, but could there be shenanigans here? But his breakdown of, oh, no, no, they've thought of everything. You have to get through three people. Like, there are three people involved, two at the game and one NBA, someone who works for the NBA back in the NBA offices that does it. In, like, the control room and logs everything. So there would be no shenanigans for giving a guy added blocks, added assists. And it's interesting because they got into this, too, on the podcast, that the Vancouver Grizzlies had an incident with Nick Van Exel, where the guy was giving them extra assists. So they have thought of everything in the NBA to make sure, well, wait a second, could a guy be compromised here? And could a guy, but based on incentives and what, it was like the bubble, right? They're not going to sneak girls in to the bubble while the pandemic's, they want to get this right.
No chance that can happen.
You got an NBA, what's 20,000 to an NBA player to give to the security guard and say, look the other way, my girlfriend's coming.
Can you cover up the camera too?
Yeah.
In the hallway?
Of course you're going to do it.
Sure. By the way, look at his numbers overall. So this does make for a very juicy story, right? When you look at Jackson specifically on defense, at home he's averaging 4.2 blocks per game compared to 2.2 away. Steals 1.4 compared to 0.7. You're like, oh my God, there's something to this for sure. And for those of you who have been onto this and betting props at his home games, congrats, because you're probably cashing every single time when he plays at home.
Yeah.
Like Windhorst said, props can be very popular with certain people because it might be easier to predict than the actual outcomes of games. As you described, the guy sitting there at the game with pen and paper, there are multiple people at a court calling out stuff, and it typically is at each end of the court. Well, one person will be watching Jackson one half, and another person will be watching Jackson at the other end of the court the other half. And then the person who's the auditor or the inputter back in the league office, and they have the ability to watch the screen and go back and fast forward or rewind, and was it an actual block or was it a steal?
Yeah.
So you would need, by my count, that's three or four people minimum to be in on a heist like this.
Right. Right.
I know, that's not happening.
No. Shot down. But this guy puts this article out, and it's a huge story. And they have to take the odds off the board at some spots. About, is this real?
Did happen.
Yeah, yeah. And then they got people in the league office reaching out to Windhorst and people concerned about this and what's going on with the shenanigans here. But ESPN did some work and they looked at it, much ado about nothing. But then again, he wouldn't be the first guy to be better at home than on the road at the NBA as well.
Very true.
But this was wild over the weekend with
crazy.
This coming
and,
out.
And my first reaction was, again, it was a lengthy story on Reddit. The person had a really good breakdown. And the first thought was, somebody want to do something about this? Like, really, it was exactly what you said. Could the scorekeeper, he might have a ticket on Jackson. He might
that
have
too.
A couple of tickets.
That too, yeah. Sure.
By the way, betting's legal in Tennessee. Maybe he has Jackson at really good numbers to win the award. He's like, okay, I can maneuver the numbers here a little bit. That was my first thought. And
I
then,
wonder if they're allowed to bet. I don't know. That's...
Well, I could have somebody bet for him.
Sure. Well, that's true too.
But, yeah. That's a good point. Maybe not. Maybe they're not... Mm. Able to have actual accounts or go up to a book and say, I'll take this and that on a game. But it's a very interesting angle. And then he was not the only person to shoot it down. I think it was Kevin O'Connor and others who basically went out and they looked at every single block again. And they're like, no, this is pretty legit. He actually does play a little bit better at home. And his numbers are very real. And he wants to win Defensive Player of the Year. Jackson wanted to win a year ago. Morant was pushing for him to win a year ago.
All the time.
And I think they felt that he got robbed. And now he's coming out like, okay, now I'm going to win this award on the year. The problem is he's minus 175. He should probably be a little bit higher than that. But he doesn't play enough minutes, and he's in foul trouble a lot.
Yeah, can't stay out of foul trouble. That was a terrific breakdown by Windhorst about what goes in, why are they doing this, and how many people are involved.
Yeah, you never think about something like that, right?
I never would.
You think it's going to be up to like one person? And not like three or four.
Yeah.
But that's been the angle. And now I'm sure books are going to be guarded with Grizzlies games when he's at home. And I haven't paid attention because you can't really find that stuff out here anyway. But if it's like 3.5 at home, he's been going over that almost every single time. So what do you do? Do you adjust to 4.5? Or do you make it 3.5 with just a ton of juice to go over? Because on Sunday night, this story came out again, I think it was Saturday morning. They played a home game on Sunday night and he had 5 blocks. And he talked about, they asked him about it after the game. He goes, I guess I kind of put that baby to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. And now maybe other leagues will be on high alert too. If there's, I mean, how many sports can, where someone get involved and embellish stats?
Oh, we had a great reaction, by the way, yesterday, talking about how bad we thought the officials were over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And people were saying, and I don't follow this stuff like in European leagues, there are leagues not in this country that if the referees botch something that's just egregious, they're looking at a suspension. Do you know how great that would be in the States?
Yeah.
You screw a sport. There, again, there's no accountability
here. You blow that
here.
Laker call against the Celtics. You're out 2 weeks.
And you're missing. Yeah, your doc pay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the bottom line.
Right.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, Matt Youmans is going to join the show. VSiN.com, senior editor, host on the network as well. He liked an NFL offseason bet, and then numbers changed. Does he still like it? We'll ask him that coming up next.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
All right, big news. We hit the road next week. We're going to Phoenix, Radio Road, and VSiN Radio Row. VSiN will be in the middle of the action. Athlete, celebrity interviews, breaking down the game. Props, and more props. Huddle up and watch Follow the Money, Lombardi Line, VSiN Final Countdown. Betting splits, expert picks, big game props, VSiN.com. Radio Row next week, VSiN.com.
I'm stoked. I can't wait to go there live and be there doing three different shows, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for this show anyway, live from Phoenix. A lot to do in Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's a huge city.
Is there a Portillo's?
I think there's a Portillo's close.
Yes.
And I believe there's Whataburger there. I've never had it.
All right.
I'm going to have to cross that one off the list.
All right.
That's on the priority list for sure.
I might as well do an A&W when I'm there too.
There you go. I think they probably have that.
40 minutes away from us here.
Yeah, too far.
It is.
Too far.
Yeah, you got to plan your whole day around it, Mitch. You can't do it. Absolutely. Right.
Might go check out the waste management on Thursday of next week. I have to go see what the 16th hole is like. And I'll never get there. Because I'm not going to leave Las Vegas during Super Bowl weekend.
It's NBA trade deadline.
On Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's over by like, what, 2 o'clock Mountain Time?
Suns could be players in that.
What if they add somebody?
Ooh. I think they blow it up.
I don't know about that. They're not going anywhere. Yeah, but they're not dead and buried this year.
Dead and buried.
They've had a lot of injuries.
Dead and buried. They're not going anywhere. Mm. Paul is playing better, though. That's interesting.
But Booker, how many games did Booker miss?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
Right. New owner. Maybe that does happen. It could go, you know, or maybe they just want to build around Booker and move on from Paul. And that's I think the Bulls should blow it up. What are you doing? What are you in? You're in the play-in round? Come on.
There's no reason to really. They're not going to go
people.
Anywhere.
Yet.
And
unload
by the way,
people.
They're not close either.
Yep.
Okay. So a lot has been made about the Philadelphia Eagles schedule. To this point of the season, and certainly over the next 2 weeks, this game's going to be broken down every which way but loose.
Mm.
And I went back and used Jeff Sagarin's power ratings and strength of schedule ratings all the way to the year 2000 for kind of a deep dive look at what it means for Super Bowl participants. The Eagles had the 31st SOS this year. We all know they didn't play anybody, right? And the quarterbacks they played, especially down the stretch, mm-hmm. Not good. The Chiefs had the 16th SOS. So what does that mean going back? Well, first, teams who have had a very weak SOS typically don't get to the spot. Since the year 2000, only three teams who had a strength of schedule rated in the 30s made the Super Bowl. The 2000 Rams, they were winners. They held on final play of the game to beat the Titans. Kevin Dyson, a yard short. The 2006 Seahawks, they were losers. They got beat by the Steelers. That was a game where people were very pissed off with the referees.
Yep.
and the 2017 Patriots. Their SOS was in the 30s. That was the year they came back to beat the Falcons, but they trailed 28-3, never should have won the game. So teams with an SOS in the 30s are actually 2-1 straight up when you go back to the year 2000. But I thought it was a little bit more interesting to dive a little bit deeper and to notice big-time differences between the SOS. Again, 15 spots in the rankings this year between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Well, in previous years, when the two teams had a difference of at least 10 spots in SOS, like it is this year, how did these teams do? Plenty of examples, by the way. In 2022, the Rams had the fifth SOS in the league. Bengals 22nd. Rams won the game. 2018, Eagles, strength of schedule was 13th. Patriots 24th. Eagles won the game. I mentioned the Patriots-Falcons game. Patriots actually had the weakest SOS in the league that year. Falcons 9th, but they blew the game. Mm-hmm. The year before that, the Broncos schedule was super tough. Number 5 overall in the league. Panthers 25th. Panthers were like 6.5-point favorites. Lost the game outright.
Yep.
In 2013, 49ers had the third hardest schedule. Ravens 13th, but Baltimore won that game. You know, in 2012, and in fact, the 2 years the Giants beat the Patriots, the Giants had one of the most difficult schedules in the entire league both years. 2012, it was the hardest schedule in football. The Patriots were 13th. Giants won the game. In 2008, the Patriots, they were undefeated that year, 18-0. They had the 19th SOS, Giants had the second. Giants won that game. In 2009, the Steelers had the fourth hardest schedule, Cardinals 16th. So I could keep going on and on and on and on because there are more examples. The bottom line is this. When teams with an SOS of at least 10 spots higher than their opponent in the Super Bowl, the overall record is 10-3 for the team with the harder schedule. It's 10-2 since 2004, and that would include the Falcons blowing a 28-3 lead. So it should be 11-1 since 2004.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That year, by the way, it was the Buccaneers. They had the 12th hardest schedule. The Raiders had the first, number one hardest schedule in the entire league. But Gruden for the Buccaneers knew every single play the Raiders were going to run.
Yeah, that was horrible what Callahan did. They knew everything that was coming. All the hand signals, that's right.
So here's what this is going to be. If the Chiefs win the game, this is going to be, I told you so. People will look to the Eagles' SOS and say, didn't play anybody.
Yeah, you haven't seen this quarterback either. Based on what you ran down last week, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, who's the best quarterback they faced?
They played two guys.
Goff, Cousins, or Dak, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think only two guys finished the year in the top 10 of EPA per play.
So, and we saw what Dak did against them in the last meeting, getting the win and scoring a ton of points on him in the third and 30. So,
was that alarming to you at all?
Could it be a replay of San Francisco, Kansas City? Maybe they can't handle this pass rush and Mahomes doesn't have time to throw, but it's hard to go against this guy because you just see how he's a magician back there. And even when he's compromised, he still lights it up and throws for 330 and he loses his wide receivers. He's got three guys out.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I'll make it work and move the ball and I'll go back to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So everyone should be healthy. You would hope by the Super Bowl, but it's a tough matchup. You're right. It's going to be, I told you so, no matter what. Well, you didn't play anybody. You didn't see. Well, they were just, yes, they played an easy schedule, but they were the best team. And it's been this way since August. And I like that tweet and email we received yesterday about how many Super Bowls do you get where you say, well, I'm not surprised. And we knew this was going to be the Super Bowl going back to September.
Sure.
As the Eagles just took over and dominated the NFC from the get-go.
Now, I know that the final score here, the tally of the playoff games, it's 69 for the Eagles and 14 combined for the Giants and the 49ers. But again, we know what happened with the 49ers and the Giants were not a very good football team this year. They happened to have some good coaching, some breaks go their way, and they stumbled into the playoffs, and they played a very weak Minnesota team. But even going back in the regular season, Week 18, Giants had nothing to play for. They sat everybody. Week 17, that was a Minshew game. Saints ran for like 140 yards in that game. Defense wasn't great, and they were still playing for the one seed at that point. Defense gave up 40 to the Cowboys and Dak. They were fortunate to win the game at the Bears 25-20. So I know the playoffs here, it looks good, but who have they really played now for a while? And when they did play the Cowboys, it was an aerial circus on the defense. Because if the pass rush doesn't get to Mahomes, I know they have a great secondary. What is Mahomes going to be able to do to them?
Well, And when's the last time you were in a close game? Came down to the fourth quarter with Hurts in there. That's been a while as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Packer thing was decided. There was a garbage touchdown. They blew out the Titans. They blew out the Giants. The Bear game, there was a late touchdown in that one. They were in total control of that game. You have to go back to probably the Indy game.
The Colts game was,
That was when they Hurts scored late, and they got the stop. They were down, I think, double digits in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's been no problem for them. So, and the easy path they've had. Now, the angle last week was, well, you play against a team that comes off a blowout win. But, again, you had the fluke injury. So, San Francisco didn't have a chance.
Yep.
So, that's a good angle that people like. Teams have been regular season, too. Regular season and playoffs. Teams have been awful ATS coming off 20-point wins.
Yeah, that's right. And, by the way, to finish off the entire list, in 07, the Colts had the fifth hardest schedule. They beat the Bears and covered. Bears had the 24th schedule. In 06, I brought that up with the Steelers. They were fourth, Seahawks 31st. In 05, Patriots 7th, Eagles 19th. Patriots won that game. In 04, the Patriots had the 10th hardest schedule. Panthers had the 22nd. That was per teamrankings.com, actually. And the Patriots won that game. So it has been an indicator. And again, will it mean anything for this game? Maybe, maybe not. But it's generally speaking, when the team has played a much weaker schedule, they don't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So.
That is strong, though. Very good. Should be 11-1.
It should be 11-1.
Yes.
Going back to 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The Falcons blew a 28-3 lead, and they had a million chances to win the game.
Now, this is funny. This is supposed to be the angle you use. You blindly would bet this in the wild card round. It had been over 80% for a long time running. Just bet the team that played a more difficult schedule in the wild card round. And then it came back to the pack a little bit the last few years. But that was always something you would look at just in the wild card round.
That was a good angle for how many years?
Oh, a long time.
Like decades plus?
Yes.
Yeah, a long, long time there.
Yes.
So, but we've had, the funny thing is we've had quite a few examples going only back to 2000. I mean, that's 13 examples I brought up where there's that big of a difference between the strength of schedule. I thought, when I started to look yesterday, I thought we were going to have like 5-6 games, maybe tops. But 13 overall, and for the results to come in like that. Some of them absolute blowouts, by the way. But.
No, that would shock me. A blowout? That would surprise me. Well, you see, it's essentially a pick 'em game.
Yeah. Yeah, and because we've been spoiled, though, too. We've had a lot of pretty, solid Super Bowls over the years.
And
when we were kids, terrible.
Yeah.
Do you concur up next? It feels like this is a sleeping giant in the legalized sports betting world. But something needs to happen to push it in that direction.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Why don't we do all of them? follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
All the props up. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. 300 ways already to bet the game and the squares. You could win $10,000 in bonus money by playing the Bet Rivers squares. Place $10 or more in qualifying bets. You get a square on the house. Full terms and conditions available. Great house specials as always. BetRiversSquares.com.
Here we go. Let's start this hour as the great Sal Palantonio, kind enough to join us here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
All right, Mitch and Paulie, doing good on a Tuesday morning after the Eagles won. Man, oh, man. Wow. The town has a major, major hangover from that party after Sunday night. It was like they won the championship. It was like they won the Super Bowl. There were literally 30, 40,000 people in the street right around City Hall.
How'd you feel about that, covering it, that the game was decided in the third quarter?
Well, you know, I think it's indicative of just how good the Eagles' defensive line is. So their defensive line coach, Tracy Rocker, is in the College Hall of Fame, and he played on one of the best all-time defensive lines at Auburn. And he is a superior defensive line coach. And they've got some great, great talent. They brought this. I'll tell you right now, and I live here. I get it. I'm close to the team. But why isn't Hassan Reddick in the consideration for Defensive Player of the Year? He's got more sacks right now than Nick Bosa, and he wrecked two playoff games in the first quarter and knocked out the quarterback, knocked out Brock Purdy, eliminated any chance of the Niners winning that football game. So I think it's about the Eagles' defensive line right now. They are terrorizing quarterbacks. They are setting the tone early, extremely physical, violent, speed to power, overwhelming with Reddick. And Brandon Graham, who's had a revitalization, I am really impressed with this D line, guys.
Yeah, you have to be. I mean, all those sacks in the regular season, they led the next closest team, which was the Chiefs, by 15 sacks. Is there any reason to believe that front won't get to Mahomes on Super Bowl Sunday?
Not the way they're playing right now. I mean, I thought that the Chiefs' offensive line did a great job against the Bengals D-line, which was playing at a pretty high level going into that game. But this Eagles front is different. They got all-stars up and down. Their rotation is magnificent, so they have fresh legs. Just at the D-tackle position, you look at it, Hargrave, Cox, Linval Joseph, and Sue. And that's an all-star team right there. And they're rotating in and keeping everybody fresh.
So watching Hurts and being around the team like you are, from afar, it looked like maybe not close to 100%. I don't know what number you would put on that, but as somebody who is very close to this team and you know everything about it, how close to 100% do you think Hurts is right now and he'll be on game day?
Well, let's put a number on it right now. So Tuesday after a game, and his, you know, he played well enough to win, but his numbers weren't great. You know, you look at it, and the numbers weren't great. But the Niners couldn't stop the Eagles' run game, so they didn't really have to throw it very much. But he played an important role in that, and I'll get that to in a second. If you want me to put a number on it, I'm going to go 75 to 80% coming off the game on Sunday. Now, he'll have a good solid 2 weeks to rest it and do some rehab and loosen it up prior to Super Bowl Sunday. So it'll be difficult to assess where he will be in 2 weeks. But right now, you know, I was told by Nick Sirianni, he is still getting rehab every day. Jalen Hurts is still getting rehab every day, but that he is ripping it in practice. We don't really see practice because we're not allowed to go in and watch that portion of the practice when they're cranking up the passing game. But if you look at the game on Sunday, what was the one throw that was impressive? It was him rolling to his left and throwing deep to Devontae Smith. But other than that, and that ball was overthrown, other than that, he really didn't have any accuracy on his long throw, right? So what does that tell you if he has no accuracy on his deep throws? That tells you that he's overthrowing, perhaps because he wants to compensate for the fact that he thinks he might not have the right strength in the shoulder. You got BC, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right? So that tells me that he's not 100%, because if he was 100%, he wouldn't be overthrown, because he never overthrew guys during the regular season. So the fact that he's overthrowing says to me, hey, I got to air it out because I'm not sure the strength I have in the shoulder.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And he missed A.J. Brown deep, too. Would have put him up 14
Correct.
To nothing. Yes, absolutely.
Correct.
Mitch asked
Correct.
Me earlier. I didn't have an answer. Who has the coaching edge? Is it Reed or Sirianni? I mean, Sirianni's so aggressive. I love the decision to go for it from his own 34 in a 7-7 game. I don't know how many coaches do that, and it led to a touchdown.
Not many coaches do that, I can tell you, especially in a championship game, right? So, you know, I tend to look at three things in this game in terms of coaching.
All right.
Steve Spagnuolo and the job that he did specifically against the playmakers of the Bengals was truly remarkable. I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? It basically eliminated, for most of the game, most of the wide receiver play out of the Bengals. It was significant. It was a significant difference in the way the Bengals were able to play that game. So that, to me, is the number one thing. And he relies on Chris Jones to get in on one-on-one against who's ever blocking him. So that is pretty good. And Jones, as you saw the numbers, has been tremendous. He was tremendous in that game, getting pressure on. Now, it'd be nice if the referees, you know, the ref called some stuff on Chris Jones. You know, he had a hand to the face, and he body slammed Joe Burrow on that one last play in the fourth quarter. Neither one of those were called.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll have to see how Carl Cheffers. Now, I'm going to put something in your back pocket. Go into Google.
Yeah.
And just look up Carl Cheffers and his history with the Kansas City Chiefs. So when you do that, when I'm on next Tuesday, when I'm in Arizona, you ask me about that. Go in and look. There's some stories that Kevin Seifert, our guy who covers refereeing in the NFL for us on ESPN.com, wrote a really long piece about Carl Cheffers and his history with the Kansas City Chiefs. Could be a significant factor in this game.
We pointed out last week when it was announced he would be part of the crew or the head official cell, that he did, in fact, throw the most flags, I think, for the most yards this year. He was at the top last year and very close 3 years ago.
Flag happy.
Very flag happy. Yeah. Correct.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Very funny. That can help in some ways, because he's not going to let a guy like Chris Jones get away with stuff. But it also can hurt, because late in the game, now you got to worry about, all right, is he and his crew throwing stuff on ticky-tack fouls?
Yeah, yeah. From a betting standpoint, and your prediction already, ESPN.com, you like the Eagles. You think the D-line will be too much. Is there a path to tie it into what, you know, you mentioned the younger fans and how the fans are energized because of the betting? And from a betting angle, can you also get there with Reddick for Super Bowl MVP?
Oh, man. That's a good one. You know, if you look at it, the way Hurts is playing right now, right? And the way they're calling the offense right now, right? Which is, you know, they're spreading the ball around, even in the running game, right, Paulie? So you look at it, you look at it. All right, so let's look at it from a statistical standpoint. They had 44 rushes for 148 yards. But not a single runner had over 50 yards. So the way they're spreading the ball around, it's not bloody likely that you're going to get an MVP out of any of the backs if the Eagles win. You look at Hurts; he had 121 yards passing. Okay, I mean, unless you're Joe Namath, that's the only way you're going to win the MVP. And by the way, trivia question. Joe Namath is the only quarterback to win MVP in the Super Bowl without throwing a touchdown pass. Did you know that?
Oh, no, wow. That's
very good. Very good.
So Hurts could be the second. He could be the second MVP not to throw a touchdown pass. He didn't have a touchdown pass in the NFC Championship game. Then you look at the wide receivers, right? Not a single wide receiver had over 40 yards receiving. Goddard had 23. Mm. Brown had 28. Smith at 36. So you're not going to get the MVP most likely from a wide receiver. So, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Now that we think about it, extrapolate it out and do it and put some thought into it, it could be Hassan Reddick. Could be.
I took a little Hassan yesterday at 50-1 to win the Super Bowl MVP, and he was so good against the 49ers. Okay, so we don't have to wait till next week.
So what about the fact that it could be 2 years in a row you'd have a defensive MVP?
A Cup won it last year.
Oh, did he win it last year?
Yeah, many people thought it should have been Aaron Donald.
Oh, by you know what? Jeez. Yeah. Cup did win it last year. It should have been that defense.
Right. Should have been Aaron Donald. Yeah. Well, yeah. You're the best, Uncle Sal. Thanks for the time as always. We will see you next week in Phoenix, okay?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You guys going to be on Radio Row?
We are. Yeah. We are.
Oh, well, you know, next Tuesday is my visit to Radio Row. It's already locked in by ESPN. They had me going through. I told them that VSiN's got me. So Mountain Time, that would be what time will you want me with? What time would you want me, Mountain Time?
Well, we're traveling a little bit, so we'll lock it in after the show. How does that sound?
All right, we'll lock it in off the air.
Thanks, Sal. We'll see you next week.
Hey, see you, bye.
Yeah. Great job.
I looked up the Carl Sheffer stuff, by the way.
Where?
Oh, stories were already written last week before the game was played.
Oh,
Chiefs fans
God.
Not happy.
No.
Win, lose next. I'll tell you the numbers. And also, you're catching 2 points last night, up by 23, 12 minutes to go. And it's a losing bet. Details next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
The big game means big plans for VSiN. We'll be in the middle of all the action, broadcasting live from Radio Row in Phoenix. Athletes, celebrity interviews, breaking down the game, props, and more props. Huddle up and watch Follow the Money, Lombardi Line, VSiN Final Countdown, and VSiN Primetime live from Radio Row starting next week. VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back our old friend, David Thorpe, at Coach Thorpe on Twitter with TrueHoop.com. I subscribe, you should too. Author of the book Basketball is Jazz as well. And always great to catch up with him on everything related to the NBA. Appreciate the time, Coach. How you been?
Fantastic. It's a great season as we expected. A lot of parity.
Oh, absolutely. How many teams do you think can come out of the West alone?
It's crazy. But we wrote an article back in August saying this was the most like the NFL the NBA has ever seen.
Absolutely.
So far, so good. Living up to that.
You're right about that. So it's been a rough couple weeks here for the NBA, or some will tell you that, based on what's happened with major stars missing games and that Denver-Milwaukee game, which was on national TV. We saw your tweet about calling out media members. Always like to say, back in my day, and this can't happen. And what do you think of the current state of load management and stars taking games off and how this has played out over the last few years?
Well, it's the only solution to a problem that's epidemic in our culture, where our best players are playing far too many games throughout their young life. As someone who's got a 21-year-old college basketball player as a son, we were very careful because I was aware of the science. Because I'm connected to the NBA, I knew that we can't overplay our players. Back in the day, and I'm going to be 58 in 2 weeks,
okay,
we played multiple sports. Doctors have talked a lot about this, that we were better off doing that and then specializing when we're 10, 11, 12, playing tournaments, 30 tournaments a season or more, 5, 6, 7 games in 48 hours, not training the right way, not training in different other sports to allow your muscles to recover and your ligaments to not be bent out of shape, as it were. So our players are entering the NBA with wrecked bodies. This is not my opinion.
Yeah.
This is what doctors who are assessing this, scientists and medical doctors are assessing this. Just look at the guys at P3 and other places. They're entering the NBA with wrecked bodies. So the only solution is to do what they're doing now, which is not let them play in certain games to let their bodies recover, or shorten the schedule. You can do both. We can shorten them now.
Yeah.
We can not play as many games now. I like a 72-game schedule and then eventually get to 58 games. Probably makes the most sense. And then our stars will play almost every game.
Okay, can we get there? Because now, I mean, they're adding games now. We have the play-in round, and they might have the, they're going to have this mid-season tournament too. So can the owners, and I know Kerr, when they sat everybody out, says, we got to go to 72. Can we get there?
Well, to me, it's got to be the networks who need these games need to understand that their ratings will be higher. They already understand this when the Stars actually play. So you just got to do the math. If the math doesn't work, then that's a different scenario. But I think the math will be better. The games will be more important. There'll be more people going to those games because of it.
Yeah.
I think the Lakers' attendance this year is not great, in part because they're not so good. And also, there's so much. You can make the games more important, have the Stars play more games, and have the television ratings soar. I think that's why they'll eventually get to a shorter schedule.
Yeah, and I think they have to as well, because it's only getting, I think, worse. Like, this year is by far. And remember, Popovich did this a handful of years ago with Duncan, Manu, and Parker when they sat everybody. Didn't even fly him to Miami. And he got dinged like $250,000 by the league, and that was a huge story back then, but it's gotten worse since then. And when I say worse, I'm thinking about, like, you know, fans, bettors of the sport. We saw it again last night, Coach. Trae Young, 90 minutes before tip-off, not in the lineup. The Nuggets, when they played against the Bucks, they sat everybody. That came out, I think, an hour before tip-off. And you can look ahead to the Bucks when they play the Nuggets on the road. That's a back-to-back after they get the Jazz, so they're probably going to sit everybody. That's, I think, the problem. These teams that only play twice during the regular season and fans want to go out and see Giannis versus Joker, they're sitting in these games, and that's a major issue.
Right. So remember, when Popovich did what he did, he was listening to scientists that I won't get the details exactly right. People can look it up. They worked with an organization that's now huge named Catapult Sports out of Australia. Mm-hmm. And they basically said, you can't help anyone for a decade and we'll pay you all this money and you'll advise us. So science was telling Pop to rest those guys when he rested them. And after 10 years, Catapult now has clients all over the world. There's a lot of competitors. Okay. So again, this was science acting the way they did. I understand the betting aspect of this and just the fan aspect of it. I've seen a lot of Broadway shows. I don't always see the superstar. Typically, I do, and I don't always see him or her. They do have understudies. We need to help our athletes stay healthier, play longer careers. There'll be more guys like LeBron if we shorten the schedule up and allow their bodies to heal. But also, this is very important, the NBA needs to invest in youth sports. They need to tell. It's not just AAU. It's all the organizations like AAU. There's got to be restrictions. Just like when my son was playing baseball, we would have a pitch count. Some of our competitors in the AAU level didn't. These guys would be throwing 90-some pitches or 12 years old. Mm. Most of those guys never made it even to high school. They threw their arms out. Someone in authority has to dictate to these groups and at least let parents know you're hurting your children's future by having all these games as often as you do.
I think that also is troubling is the backlash against the players. Like, it's their fault. Number one, you wanted these guys healthy for the playoffs. You don't want a war of attrition. But the other thing is, some people are saying, well, you make millions of dollars, go out there. Are they supposed to ignore the training staff and say, the hell with it, I'm playing, I want to play?
Well, okay, yes, you're right on that, but take it a step further. Literally by definition, if you keep playing, you're going to be gone for even longer. You're risking much. It's not about toughness. These guys are tough as nails.
Yeah.
They're used to playing with pain and soreness. It's a daily thing for them after month one. But by playing, you're putting a long-term thing at risk. And just remember, guys, in something like the Premier League, in soccer, obviously this huge league, all these players are wearing heart rate straps and blood pressure straps. And when those players hit a red line, they're coming out. They come out in practice. They come out in games, because once you cross that red line, which some doctors have algorithms, you know, that set up, their risk for injury goes much, much higher. And now you're gone for a much longer period of time than any one half of one game or one game. So sciences should be in charge of this. Emotion shouldn't play a part of this.
Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson, the Sports Betting Network. David Thorpe, our guest, the Coach Thorpe on Twitter. And with True Hoop, who would you like, deadline coming up February 9th. What teams, I know Dallas comes to mind, but in your opinion, teams that should make a trade and try to get a big star or a key component to help their team?
I don't think there's a lot of big stars. We're writing something this week. I'm doing it now. I've got like maybe 70 players that I think can be moved that might make help a playoff team a little bit more, or in some cases, just a team that wants more young guys get even more young guys. You know, basically trade our disappointing draft pick for your disappointing draft pick. But there's so much parity that any small improvement could help you get through a series, which increases your chances of winning. the series after that. Obviously, you have to win one to get the next one. So the Grizzlies need depth. Dallas needs help offensively. They need paint scoring. The Clippers, I think they can play with the guards they have, but they don't think that. They probably need to thin their roster down a little bit. These guys don't have a real natural routine in their rotation. I think that hurts them some. So really every team except for maybe Boston and even maybe Cleveland, I don't love anything Cleveland can do. I think they think Okoro can be that small forward that they need that can guard the Jason Tatums and Giannis's and Jimmy Butler's, whatever, in that league. And so I don't think those teams will make a move, but I think any other team is willing to do something to just strengthen their rotation. Again, it won't be about a star as much as just incremental improvement.
Can you give us a sneak peek? Like the biggest name or two biggest names that you think might be on the move?
Oh, it's not. I didn't do it that way, but yeah, okay. I think most people think OG Anunoby is unlikely to stay in Toronto. They're, I think, 6 games below .500 now. He is supposedly, I wrote this summer that I'd heard that he wasn't happy with his potential role. And so he's someone that I think could be on the move. I don't think they'll trade Siakam or Barnes, but Anunoby will really help some teams very, very much so.
Just 90 seconds left, but as a coach and a guy where NBA players have reached out to you to help with their shooting, how good is the Fultz comeback story after his shot was broken and Sohan in San Antonio going one-handed at the line and going from 45 to 75%?
Well, the Fultz story is great, of course. He's a good basketball player, not a great shooter, but a good player. Sohan, this is how we train a lot of players, especially guys with big hands. That offhand tends to disturb the shot a little bit. So we do one-hand shooting, not normally. Mm. I think eventually he'll put his other hand on there and just really learn to keep it quiet, not move it, and strictly let that strong hand do all the work.
The elbow was the problem, right? His elbow would come. Is that the issue?
Well, every shot is different. It's like a fingerprint. I never worry about elbows necessarily.
Okay.
If your elbow's out, your thumb is below the ball, that's a problem. You want your thumb on the side of the ball, like 9 o'clock if the ball was the face of a clock. So I think that based anatomically for his arm, for him, that must have been an issue. And so, yeah, if you could hold that, think of it this way. You're holding like a pizza tray, like a pizza box.
If you
can't hold the pizza box, it's going to fall off. Something's wrong with your hand placement on the ball. And so really working with that one hand only to balance it is how the foundation of the shot is built.
You're awesome. Great to talk to you again, Coach.
Take care, guys.
Yep. You can read him at truehoop.com. In Pocket Plays, what we're betting coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.